Hello and welcome to another episode of K-Botak, the podcast about Korean cinema and K-dramas. I'm John, and on this episode, we'll be finding any chance we can to talk about whale facts with extraordinary attorney Woo. Extraordinary Attorney Woo. Why do this episode now? There's only 6 episodes out. It's not even finished. Well, I'm making this episode right now and putting it out this week because I really want to encourage everybody who takes any enjoyment in appointment viewing, in looking forward to a new episode or two, in this case, as is often the case with K-dramas, anybody who just really likes having that little break to think about the last episodes that they saw have the anticipation of what's going to happen next week and seeing these characters evolve over time, to jump on now to what is going to be in the conversation for the best Korean TV series of the year, almost certainly. Whether they land this at the end with everything that they're trying to do remains to be seen. As of now, Attorney Woo is an incredibly enjoyable, wholesome, often insightful, and just very heartwarming and comforting show to watch. I've really, really been enjoying it. And as listeners to this podcast may know, I am usually watching crime, horror, action, sci-fi, things like that. This is far more everyday on the face of its show, about a young lawyer, but it is just, it has all the ingredients to become a classic TV series, held together with some extremely heartfelt performances. As of the week of recording, this was the most watched miniseries in South Korea over the week. Topped the Netflix Singapore charts on July 14-15. And Kang Tae-ho was the internet's most searched actor. It also broke its own record for the highest ratings in ENA history, so it had set a record the week before, and according to Nielsen, the 6th episode of Extraordinary Attorney Woo scored an average nationwide rating of 9.569%, breaking its own record for the highest viewership ratings ever achieved by any program in ENA history. I rarely pay much heed to ratings. They're not the things that excite me about TV or that draw me to it, but a lot of people take a lot of interest in that, and fair play to you. I'm glad that some people enjoy it, but I thought this was worth bringing up just because this is a massive commercial hit and a ratings hit as well as being a phenomenon on Twitter and everywhere that I kind of read about the goings on in Korean TV and cinema and all the rest of it. This month, A Story also announced that the series will be adapted into a webtoon of the same name, serialized over 60 episodes. So who knows, we might get I don't know what the story is they have planned out for this one, we might get a season 2 like with Yumi's Cells. Who knows, right now, like I say, this is a phenomenon. So in a bit of a Park Yun-bin double bill in a way, because obviously she featured in the last episode, which I did on The Witch Part 2, in a far more grisly and violent movie there. But she plays the central and titular role here of attorney Woo Young-woo. She is fond of telling everybody when she meets them that it is the same written down, whichever way you look at it, like several other words, which she then lists. Park Yun-bin really brilliant in this, was approached to do this role, and she had the king's affection, I think, to do, that she just agreed to at the same time, and they held off and did it this year so that she could be the character. So obviously an actress who people are prepared to make major revenue affecting changes in plan for. So they really wanted her in this role, and here it is. It's come out in 2022 instead. Woo Young-woo is basically a new attorney at a law firm called Hanbada, and is the first Asperger syndrome attorney in Korea, which we'll come back round to. It also features Kang Tae-ho, the aforementioned, as Lee Jun-ho, who is an employee who kind of works on the legal team at Hanbada. Kang Ki-young as Chung Myung-suk. He is the sort of mentor for Young-woo and one of the senior attorneys. You've also got Woo Young-woo's father, Kwang-ho, who's played by Chun Pae-so. Choi Soo-yun is another attorney at Hanbada, played by Ha Yoon-kyung. She was also at law school with Young-woo. You've got attorney Kwon, Kwon Min-soo, another of the attorneys at Hanbada, played by Choo Chong-hyuk. Significantly, Young-woo's buddy, that she frequently refers to as her only friend, Tong Koo-rami, who is a rap and film and food loving, very funny character, played by Ju Hyun-young, and played really well as well. So Young-woo is an extremely talented young lawyer who has just finished law school, is ready to kind of go into working at a firm. She has an amazing ability to basically memorize the law, which, if you can imagine being in a courtroom when you need precedents and legal details of various cases that have come before, and small pieces of civilian and criminal law that people maybe hadn't thought of, is an extremely powerful asset. She lives with her single father, he runs basically a gimbap restaurant. She's just got this job after spending quite a while job hunting at Hanbada, and she starts. And the show is kind of about her first steps as an attorney, and how she gets used to not just the world of work as a young person, but also to being kind of interdependent with a number of other colleagues and people as a young autistic woman, and also just about the kind of the things that a young lawyer would go through kind of ethically and in terms of getting used to the reality of standing in court and defending somebody. So it really it got a lot of feathers in its bow, this show, in terms of the different stories it wants to show every week. We don't know who her mum is as of yet. Really, watching the show, we just kind of see that, yeah, she's got this single dad. She's got a really good relationship with her dad. He's extremely kind of affectionate and generally is presented as a good dude. Seems to be just a nice kind of uncle-ish figure who runs this restaurant. He's nice to her friends. He indulges Young-woo's hobbies and interests, and has clearly supported her to the point where she is, you know, starting this really promising career. So far so good. The main thing that kind of will be talked about, I think, around this show, apart from the sparkling performances, the fact it's extremely well written, all of that is all true. The fact that Young-woo is autistic. Now, myself, as a neurotypical person, anything that I say about this can obviously be taken with a pinch of salt. I have been reading around the response to Young-woo's portrayal by Park Yoon-bin. There's a lot of positivity from, you know, people on different places online who do live with autism or who know a great deal about it. Some people have expressed reservations about other parts. I think, you know, if you're thinking about starting this show, either stick it on and see what you think, or have a read around. And if you are, like me, a neurotypical person, certainly don't take this show at face value as representative of what autistic people are necessarily like, as the show also takes pains to point out. If you have met, you know, an autistic person, you have met exactly one autistic person. It is a vast spectrum, autism, and presents in extremely different ways, and different people experience it in very different ways. So do try to be, you know, informed, and just bear in mind that you know, this is it is not possible for this to be a monolithic portrayal. However, one thing that I think I have taken away from this is that it is a fairly informed, compassionate, and well-intentioned portrayal and series and story and character arc. And that if it is able to create a little bit more awareness, a little bit more understanding in society for people who live with autism at different points on that spectrum, then it will have done a good thing. But again, do try to read around, form your own thoughts. You know, this is something that you can get, you know, more knowledge about. And again, do bear in mind that most of the stuff you're going to read on the internet, if you are listening to this in English and you only speak English, will be in English, and so that will probably be from a Western point of view as well. I'm waiting for, you know, some articles to cross my path that perhaps are written by people who, you know, live with autism and have grown up in Korea. You know, that would be interesting to see how true to the mark any of the stuff we're seeing is. Just wanted to put that out there, because it's such a big part of the show, and such a big part of why this show is making a mark, really. We get introduced to this with Young-woo, where she the show kind of flashes back to when she's a child. She is mute until the age of 5, but she is memorizing law books, and her father realizes this when she suddenly starts reeling off the law because the landlord is yelling at him. You come back forward to the present time. She is meeting these attorneys at the law firm. You see kind of the sort of people that surround her, some of which love her to bits and are really supportive, others of whom are skeptical of her or think she's getting special treatment or even treat her a little bit harshly. And that's something that comes up again and again in the show. And you see her friends, especially Dongarami, who you know, is eminently supportive and very, very friendly, and a big kind of rock for her and support network. One of the things I really love and really appreciate about this show is it has an extremely strict case per episode structure that it keeps to rigidly, and I really appreciate this. I find the case or story or monster of the week kind of structure really addictive. I love being able to come to a show every week or every episode and get a different little story in, you know, 50 to 60 minutes. It's extremely appealing to me. I am also a fan of plenty of shows where it's one long story that's unfolding over the weeks, and there is an arc here as well. Something about you know, putting on every episode of this, every time there's a new one out, and you get a little title card with the name of what the case is going to be like, and it'll be like case 4, case 5. Just unleashes a little trickle of happy chemicals in my brain. That's something I really look forward to about this. I know I'm going to get the complete story. It's obviously more effort for the creative team behind this as well. They have to come up with more cases. They have to hire more supporting cast members, I would imagine, a lot of the time. It's more effort to do it this way. They've got to tell 16 little short stories instead of maybe 7 to 8, but draw them over, you know, multiple episodes. So I think that, you know, they put in a lot of effort to do it this way, but really, really appreciate it and enjoying it a great deal. Another thing to mention about Yongwoo, just as I'm going over some of the generalities of this show, she loves whales, loves everything about whales, and as well as the lore, is able to reel off absolutely books worth of information about different kinds of whales, and is constantly looking for excuses to bring the conversation round to that, to the point that her father tells her as she goes off to the first day of her job, don't talk about whales unless it's absolutely necessary. And she kind of barters back and says, but if it is necessary to talk about whales, then I can. And he has to sort of go, yeah, okay, if it's absolutely necessary to talk about whales. And of course she goes and kind of crowbars whales into every conversation, including with her colleagues, including with the senior attorney. So it's used for comedic effect. It is also playing to something that some autistic people will experience, which is to be very, very interested or fixated on a particular topic. But that's obviously not exclusive to people who live with autism. Lots of people have pet subjects that they love, 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 and want to talk about. So I think that, you know, this is something that people will relate to as they go through. Yongwoo, she just loves whales. There's a lot of imagery around whales on the show. They've made some quite good special effects so that you can see them sort of flying through the sky at various points. Whenever she has a big breakthrough with a case, she looks into the near distance as if she's inspired, and it'll cut away to a picture of a whale cresting through the water, which you start waiting for that moment once you've seen a few episodes. It's very cute how it uses the imagery, and yeah, just really nice. They use them in the opening credits, which is a lovely looking bit of animation that they use for that, and I've watched the opening credits through a few times. I don't necessarily always skip it. So yeah, enjoy that. You've got different cases here, from inheritance disputes to criminal cases. Some of the characters and defendants are sympathetic, some are not. There's some satisfying kind of legal puzzling out for you to watch and join in with. And this is where Yongwoo's very detailed knowledge of the law comes into play. And like I say, the overall arc where she eases into the job and we sort of see what kind of lawyer she's going to become. I'm not going to spoil anything that's happened so far, really. I may come back round and do another episode once this is finished. I'm also of the opinion that if anything I've said on this episode has persuaded you that this is worth your time, that you should turn off your podcast app right now and just go into Netflix and watch this. Here in Singapore, we're getting this the same day as Korea. So I think it's Wednesdays and Thursdays. We get it basically syndicated onto Netflix. Same day ENA is broadcasting it. Talking to people on Twitter, I think people in Finland and possibly Austria have only had a couple of episodes so far, so they're a bit behind, sadly. But hopefully they'll catch up the rest of the world, because yeah, I'm sure they'll see what a massive success this is being. Yeah, you should have, you know, if you are a Netflix watcher, access to at least two of these so far, maybe three or four to watch, and I absolutely recommend it. Just to kind of go through the episodes that are out already in a non-spoilery way. So the first one, as I've mentioned, is about her having her first day at her new job. She then starts straight onto a case where there's a dispute between two old people. Basically, an assault case. And this is sort of her introduction to not only using her, you know, formidable legal knowledge and abilities in real life scenarios, but kind of working alongside her colleagues. Very good, straightforward case, and a satisfying resolution at the end of it as well. Episode 2, I think, is where I really got obsessed with this. It sets up that there is a bride whose dress has slipped down during her wedding ceremony, which has caused humiliation to her father, who is now suing the hotel as a result. And this goes into not just a lot of law around like reimbursement and damages, but also kind of what this guy thinks he's owed because he's been embarrassed, and his kind of aspirations for marrying into wealth, and ultimately the ending to this really caught me by surprise. A really amazing ending to this episode. I'm not going to say any more, but it's fantastic, and probably the best episode so far. Number three is called This Is Peng Su, and they went straight in early in their second week with quite a big, almost like a thesis statement of we're actually going to really try and tackle some issues around autism. We're not just going to present this autistic character, because they put Youngwoo onto a case where there's an autistic suspect, but he is very different to Youngwoo. He's not high functioning in the way that she is. He has a mental age of about 5 or 6 years old. And this is where you get the quote from Youngwoo that I've never met someone like this. I don't know why you're putting me on this case, just because we are both autistic. So quite early on, it digs into some of those like prejudices that, you know, a person might see an autistic person and think, oh, so this is what all autistic people are like. And it's, well, no, you've only met one person on this spectrum. And so, quite strong early on, and a really good one to watch. Number four is called The Strife of the Three Brothers. This is the inheritance dispute that I mentioned. This is really fun. This reminded me of a movie I saw earlier in the year or last year called Don't Go Too Far, about a family of pretty obnoxious people arguing over the father's, you know, inheritance after he was passed on. It's a good little mini movie really here with these two brothers trying to get one over on the youngest. Had some good little bits of legal trivia that I was interested in. Number five, Wild Card versus Tactician. This is where it starts really getting into, you know, after a few really strong kind of case-based episodes, gets into relationships between Attorney Wu and her colleagues. So here she has to work with Attorney Kwan, and there's kind of been some tension building up between them that comes to the fore in this one. I think it's going to come up again. And then number six, If I Were a Whale, this is Youngwoo and Soo-yeon kind of teaming up. And this is a story around a mother who wants to be reunited with her daughter. But this mother is actually a North Korean defector. So the show is taking on the chance to tackle some other issues in society. And it also tackles things that Youngwoo faces as a young lawyer, that any principled young lawyer would face as well. And that's one of the things I like about this show. Every episode is about something different. It's not just about her being autistic. It doesn't dwell constantly on this one aspect of her character. She is a young woman at the start of an exciting career, who wants to help people and wants to practice law, goes into all of that and tells lots of different little stories. Brilliantly well done. Pretty much like everything about it. Definitely watch this show. It's really, really excellent. It's very heartwarming, and I'm looking forward to it absolutely every week. So if you like that kind of appointment viewing habit, then I think you'll love this. Attorney Wu, excellent. So there are, meanwhile, lots of other episodes of K-Botak you can check out once you've caught up with Attorney Wu. Recently, for Hirokazu Koreeda's new film Broker, for Money Heist Korea, that came out a couple of weeks ago, Cafe Manamdang, another ongoing drama, The Witch Part 2, which also featured Park Yun-bin, and coming soon, episodes on brand new Korean content like Monstrous and the Cannes-winning film Decision to Leave. You can follow this show on at KBotakPod, that's at KBOTAKPOD on Twitter and Instagram. Retweets and shares are much appreciated. And if you like the show, please subscribe and do leave a review or a rating. Those help more than you know. Thanks for listening. And until next time, whales. Just whales.